Ladies and gentlemen, I am your host at this time, Sergeant Scott Patterson. This is the IWR Independent Wrestling Revolution podcast, and my guest coming here today live from Gadsden, Alabama, 2019 class inductee of the Alabama Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame, Frederick O'Neill. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Scott. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here with you. It's not often that I get to interview Hall of Famers. And much less Alabama Hall of Famers. You were inducted this year with Mike Jackson, yes. Veronica Fairchild, and Mr. Joshua O'Hagan, correct?
Yep. And Arn Anderson.
Oh, yeah. Let's not forget the man himself, the enforcer, Arn Anderson. Yep. That show that we had that night was produced by Victory Championship Wrestling, yep. Who is also one of our main sponsors on the podcast.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about your career. How did you get started? Where can we find you? Just go ahead and shoot off the hip right there.
Well, how I got started was in 1999. I was a huge wrestling fan, just like every good worker should be. A fan first, and
right.
A worker second. But I kind of got into wrestling by accident. I was working at a local hardware store, and a guy came in wanting some pad for a wrestling ring. So, of course, the only thing there was carpet padding, so took him back there and showed it to him and just got to fishing around. And turns out his son-in-law ran a professional wrestling school, and I was about 115 pounds, just real skinny. And so the guy comes in the next day, the wrestler did, who owned the school, and I talked with him, and literally he says to me, "I'll train you, but you'll never go anywhere." And that was the guy who inducted me into the Hall of Fame, was the guy that told me I would never make it because I was too little. So my mouth was big enough. So I got over by my mouth. So Frederick O'Neill was kind of born out of a, need to be a good rich kid who wants to buy a company, run it in the ground, move it to Florida so he can play golf. That was my character.
Wow.
And but I couldn't get the gimmick together. The lady had a long wait in line. So my promoter said, just put on the best suit you got, the best clothes you got, and grab a golf club. And I did that. And on the way out the door, I happened to paint it gold. And that stuck. And that's been my trademark for over 20 years.
That's impressive. Yeah. I never would have thought about the golf club, just grabbing it randomly.
Yeah.
Because
my character was supposed to be a golfer.
Yeah.
So he turned out just to being a rich guy who carried a golden golf club.
And look at you here now at Victory Championship Wrestling. You're trying to take over. You're trying to buy the business. And with us, you've met the new religion. You've met myself and Jay Impact. And you see our influence over the company. And, that's our kind of our stick is trying to take over. But you have an advantage that we don't when it comes to that. And that's money.
Oh, yeah.
We go by force. You go by, hey, let's pay for it.
Yeah.
Because everybody has a price. Million Dollar Man said that.
Yes, he did.
So
I have a funny story about Million Dollar
Man. Yeah, go ahead.
So Ted and I were eating lunch together one day over in Clinton, Mississippi, his hometown. And he said, I want to show you something. And he took 20 $1 bills and set on the table. And he said, told the girl when she came to take our order, he said, now this is your tip. For this meal, but if our glasses go below half full, if you interrupt us while we're talking, if there's a distraction at all, I'll take a dollar bill away every time. Best service hands down I ever got in my life at a restaurant. I never noticed when she came and filled our glass. I never noticed when she came and took plates away. Best service I ever had in my life. And he goes on to share with, that's what Vince McMahon had taught him was, it's not about how much money you have, it's how much they think you have. So he let that girl know, I'm able to tip you $20. Are you able to earn it? So that's something that I've used even personally.
Wow.
Not with $20, more like $10.
Yeah, but, no, I get you.
And Ted, of course, I worked with him for a couple of years with PWA when he was doing his Power Wrestling Alliance, and kind of a Christian thing they toured. And
right.
So I would do some spot shows with Ted. And in the early days, I worked with Dusty Rhodes over at Turnbuckle Championship Wrestling.
So like the territory days?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, this is back in the late 90s, when, WCW was kind of coming in and the Monday Night Wars, you still had a lot of outlaws / independent guys running. And for a time there, Dusty ran Turnbuckle Championship Wrestling. And I think it was starting to phase out in the 2000s, early part of 2000. He went on to book for WCW. And but one thing that I learned from Dusty was integrity, walking to the ring and from the ring. That not just what you do inside the circle, but how you walk to the ring and how you walk away from the ring. And not just the psychological part, but the way you carry yourself, to sell. Sell yourself when that curtain opens and sell yourself whenever you're going through it to finish off, the match or finish off the night. And funny story, I was standing at a curtain and I just changed entrance music and I used Money Talks by AC/DC. And I was going to go right when the music started. And Dusty stopped me and he said, "Hey, they paid to see you. Make them wait." And I waited, and sure enough, the music kind of hits an upbeat, a few seconds into it.
Right.
And it was a perfect timing. And that was just that anticipation. And again, it was psychology that he was trying to teach me. And that's what these old school guys now, Dusty's passed away, but a lot of these old school guys can teach this next generation that's coming up is the psychological part and how it plays a huge, you don't have to go out there and do a bunch of high spots,
right?
A bunch of almost kill myself spots. You just got to get over, I think that's missing these days.
I fit in that category that I'm 185 pounds. I should be doing the flips and the fast stuff, but I wrestle like a heavyweight does. My strategy focused more on tactician type work. I want to break you down. I don't want to get broke down. I'm not the guy coming off the top rope.
Right.
I have a couple little flashy moves I pull off every now and then, but when I know that I can get them pulled off. And I get critiqued for that a lot, but I was like, when we did the seminar with Arn Anderson and Lash LaRue, I sat there and Lash told me, he's like, I watched you wrestle a little bit and I like the style. Why do you do that? And I explained I want to break the person down. He's like, that's the answer that I wanted to hear. A lot of people feed me, because it looks good. And I was like, that's not wrestling.
No.
Just because it looks good doesn't mean that it works.
Right.
And so you mentioned AC/DC as your music. And we've talked about this before. You're a youth minister.
Yes, I am.
And you come out to AC/DC.
Yeah.
How does that play into pro wrestling as opposed to your personal life there?
Well, I mean, I don't listen to secular music outside of just... That's been my theme music for 20 years, so that's probably the only time I listen to it is when somebody's playing it for me to go to the ring. So I don't know any other song by AC/DC. I barely know the words or some of the words to Money Talks. I think part of that's due to you can't understand what the guy's saying except for Money Talks.
He did have that voice.
Yeah, that scratchy, somebody just killed a cat voice,
Oh, man. A lot of our listeners are going to get mad at that. But I'm not mad at it because I agree with you.
And
that was actually one of my first concerts I ever went to. It was an AC/DC concert.
Really?
My mom. They did the reunion tour. I'm not giving my age out on the podcast here. But when I went to concert, the first one I ever went to, I was like, 6 or 7 years old. And I was like, I want to go to a concert. And I didn't know where I was getting myself into when we get to this concert. And mom's like, here's AC/DC. And I was like, I want to go home. So, but now I love the music. And music is a big part of pro wrestling. And the music that I actually use now and my tag team uses is done by my cousin's band, Be It The Means. And the term is, it's one word, but it breaks down to Be It The Means. They use it as a... kind of an inspiration, be the means of your own salvation, your own happiness. Mm-hmm. You got to inspire others, but inspire yourself too.
Yeah.
Pro wrestling, mm-hmm. How would you articulate that to the young up-and-comers, the guys that are just now getting in the ring, just now getting training? What is your inspiration to them? What is your words of wisdom?
My words of wisdom would be get out of it. Right. Why everything is still working, while your shoulders are working, your knees are working, your hips are working, get out of it. And the reason why I say that is the guys you can talk out of it are the guys that shouldn't be in it.
Oh, wow.
So yeah. If I sit down with somebody and I spend 30 minutes trying to talk them out of it and tell them about multiple surgeries I've had and, you know, had early retirement due to health issues because of wrestling, you know, and they get out, then they was never meant to be in it.
They never deserved it. I've never heard it.
It's a double-edged sword, you know. If you can talk them out of it, then they was never fully into it to begin with. And you have to love the business because this is an industry that's very unforgivable. And what I mean by that is you're easily forgotten.
And, oh, yeah. WWE
all the way down to an independent show, if you're not in front of the camera, if you're not in front of that crowd, they don't know who you are. You could have been on TV last Monday, but if you're not on the show next Monday, they're not thinking about you. They're only thinking about the guys that are in the ring at that time. But every morning we wake up with the sore hip and the messed up shoulder, yeah. And we remember every single match. And, you know, for years, you know, it's like doing the Hall of Fame. When I got the invite to do the Hall of Fame, that was just blew me away because somebody looked and said, hey, you know, his career made a difference in that era. And, I just was doing what I loved to do. And I could say that, you know, do what you love to do. Make it believable. If you don't believe it, they'll never believe it. And okay. I have to go out there believing I'm rich enough to buy this entire company. Everything about me has to act that way. Because if I do that, then the fans will get it. The fans will go, wow, he could buy this whole place. You know, somebody asked me about the shirt I'm wearing now. It's a $135 shirt.
And it's a phenomenal shirt. It's beautiful.
Yeah, you know, so I'm not going to wear something that everybody else could go to Walmart and buy. You know, I'm going to wear something that you can't find around here. That you got to have custom made or something.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned custom made. You know, you see my gear, you see my tights, my kick pads, and now my brand new trench coat. You know, I'm going to take an opportunity to plug one of our other sponsors right now, Stacy Taco. By Stacy T. She's out here right now working on gear. She's one of the best that I have ever met. And I've met a lot of gear makers. I took her just a random old cosplay jacket that I just found. My brother had it. And he's like, hey, can you do anything with this? I said, sure. I handed it to her 2 weeks later. You know, this has been 2 weeks. And I got it tonight. It's phenomenal. I'll put pictures up on the podcast page because we need to update our photo anyways.
Sure.
But she is phenomenal. And for what you're going to pay, you're getting that quality. She's done both sets of my tights. She's done my kick pads. Everything I own is done by Stacy T. You can find her on Facebook at Stacy T or by Stacy T on Instagram. But I love the shirt. And I love the wristbands. And I love the whole look of Frederick O'Neill.
Yeah.
That is your legit last name, correct?
No, it's not.
No. Oh, see, that's another curveball.
Yeah.
I wrestle as Scott Patterson, and that's who I actually am.
Yeah.
Where'd you draw the Frederick O'Neill from? Where did that come from?
The guy who trained me, like I said, named me Frederick O'Neill because it sounded rich and preppy. And again, who was going after the golfer
right. Type
deal.
So but, it's a complete accident.
Yeah.
Oh,
complete
wow.
accident. And I always wanted to be a good guy. But as I got into the business, I literally, my first show probably almost cried because people booed me like crazy. I'm getting high fives in the back, and I'm like, man, I stink. You hear them people telling me to stick it and go to, you know, all these places? And they were like, no, dude, that's what you're supposed to do. And I found it's easier to make somebody mad than it is to make somebody love you. So
that's why I love what I do.
I rolled with that. You know, I was like, shoot ya, I can do this every night. You know, so... And when you're working in these small towns where, you know, people don't have a lot of money, money is instant heat because they don't have it.
Oh, yeah.
And when you got it, they're all, you know, automatically jealous. Most of the heat I get is when I don't say a word. I just walk by somebody, look at them, and act as if you don't even deserve me talking to. And keep walking.
It's funny you say that because I'll go to some of these towns like Anniston. that's the home of Fort McClellan, or I go to these towns like Mobile, you have the naval bases down there, and I'll be there and I'll just look, and the easiest heat I've ever gotten is I'll look at somebody dead in the eyes and I'll say, I served my country, what'd you do? Mm-hmm. And that they just it ticks them off because I'm that overzealous patriot. Mm-hmm. But I love what I do. I like making people mad, and that's me in real life. That nothing's changed. I love doing the podcast, and I love being personally happy.
Sure.
But it's fun to go out there and to draw that reaction, because that's what we're really and truly paid to do, is to draw a reaction.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if you're the face or the heel. Your job is to draw that reaction. And from what I've viewed, and I've seen a lot of the videos on YouTube, I've seen a lot of the stuff that Johnny Slaughter has sat down and talked about psychology, and I've seen a lot of your work, and you embody every bit of that. And so, man, that you draw a reaction out of me watching videos from years ago.
Yeah.
There's not many performers that can do that. Arn Anderson still draws a reaction out of me. And I'm not saying that just because, you know, he's a Hall of Famer now, and I've met him. But there are certain new era guys that can still draw a reaction out of me because of just showing up. Mm-hmm. And dare I say his name, CM Punk is one of them.
Yeah,
it's the speak freely, do whatever I want to attitude. Right. Steve Austin still draws reaction out of me. I'm still a kid. That was one of my actual inspirations for being a pro wrestler, was Steve Austin.
Yeah.
Mike the Miz.
Yeah,
Mike Mizanin. I love his everything about the Miz, and I've said that too many times on this podcast. Hopefully, eventually, he'll hear it, and you know, and, hey, Scott, let me do an interview with you.
Yeah, you never know.
Yeah, let's plug that guy. So we're getting to the point where we talk about your everyday life. We're here at the Tabernacle here in Gadsden. We're fixing to do what we call a house show, right? What was your upbringing like? You said you're always a pro wrestling fan, but where did it start? What, as far back as you can tell, what match just truly glued you to the television or to that ring?
Probably WrestleMania 3 would be my earliest remembrance of course, the Hogan-Andre.
Right.
I grew up in the Hogan era, if you would, you know, when Hogan had his run, hot run with the WWF at the time.
Right.
And so probably around that time frame, you know, is when I started watching. I would watch it on Monday nights, and I loved when it went to prime time. And it was Bobby Heenan and Gorilla Monsoon hosting, you know, different matches that they would tape in different parts of the country, you know. But those are my early remembrances. I grew up in a middle-class Christian home, was pretty much raised in church, got away from the Lord for several years, got into the wrestling business and saw some stuff. The wrestling business is a great business, but not everybody in it is doing the right thing. So there's trouble and there's pitfalls that you can easily get into. And we've seen that with tragedy after tragedy of guys who, you know, get hooked on the pain pills, get hooked on the alcohol, you know, lose their money, they lose their wife, they lose their life. You know, there's way more tragedy in pro wrestling behind the scenes. And even all the guys that I met, my childhood heroes, all the way up to Hulk Hogan, you know, have all in some way or another been a disappointment because what you see in the ring is not what you get, you know, in that locker room. And but when I came back to the Lord some years later, still did the wrestling thing for several years, still traveled. Just about every weekend somewhere, Friday, Saturday night. And but then there was a period where I got sick and was diagnosed with end stages COPD and only given just a couple years to live. And or they said I wouldn't live past 40. I ain't reached 40 yet. But God just done a supernatural thing. I don't wear oxygen anymore. I'm able to get out of my house. I was kind of homebound for about three and a half years. Couldn't really do much. Didn't really have much of a voice. But I kept preaching, you know, to the youth on Wednesday nights and kept doing what I was supposed to do. I'd been in a coma, had some multiple surgeries and just liver failure, bladder failure. I had to wear a catheter for a year. I mean, my health was just down, down, down as a result of an injury in 1999 when I first started. and I didn't get it fixed till 2007, and I was intubated with the wrong tube. It caused a lot of problems in my airways and in my and some other stuff the hospital allowed to happen that should never happen. But anyway, that slowed me down to the point where I ultimately had to retire from in-ring in 2011. But I've always kept a hand in the wrestling business, you know, either through friends, promoters. There was a time when I made some belts for people. You know, I've always, and now with the Hall of Fame, that's kind of opened up some new stuff.
There you go. Speaking of, you got a big event coming up, right?
Yes, next weekend. Matter of fact, The Gathering used to be the NWA Fan Fest in Charlotte.
Yeah.
I'll be there with about 60 other superstars, as well as Johnny Slaughter.
Johnny Slaughter, Mike Jackson.
Mike Jackson.
Be there. I thought I saw on the poster. A few of the legends that we, or what we call legends from WWE, WWF days.
Oh, yeah. Anybody that's still alive is going to be there.
So, Buff Bagwell isn't going to be there, maybe? I don't know.
I haven't seen Buff's name.
Or Johnny Swinger. The reason I bring them up is Joe Hogan. You've met Joe.
Yeah.
Joe was my original trainer, and he's like, yeah, they go up there every year to that, and I hadn't heard nothing from any of them lately, so I might have to check back in on them.
Yeah, I haven't seen their names on the vendor list yet. Yeah.
You know? So tell us about this event. Like, is it a multi-day? Is it like shows, or is it just a big gathering of people to meet?
They're keeping the same kind of format as the NWA Fan Fest. Thursday night's a ladies' match. Friday night's the of course Friday day. There's meet and greets, Q&A's going on with different stars. And then we're just set up signing autographs, selling gimmicks, you know, pretty much all day. Then Friday night, they do a dinner.
Nice.
Yeah, and it's called A Night to Remember, and they're going to honor some of the guys that went on. I think Bobby Heenan is the main guy they're going to push during that, and some others.
I'm sure they'll mention Harley Race, too.
Yeah, I'm sure. Actually, Harley was booked on this and had to pull out due to sickness. Passed away, yeah. And then Saturday is another full day of meet and greet, signing autographs, and they'll do a show Saturday night, and then Sunday morning they do a small little worship service there. So it's actually a 4-day event right there at Charlotte. Yeah, I believe it's at the University Hilton over there.
Oh, nice.
But the University of Charlotte. I don't know. It's the University of Hilton, whatever that is.
Ticket information is on the Facebook page for The Gathering.
You can go
website.
tmarkpromotions.com, and that'll take you right to, you know, package price, autograph prices, and things like that. So
you can also follow the VCW Facebook page. We have a fan page. We also have just a show page. Some of the information is already on there. Johnny has shared it up to that.
Check out frederickoneal.com.
That's what I was about to ask. Is there a website? Is there a Facebook page?
Facebook
Instagram?
Page, yeah, I don't do Instagram, but I do Facebook and frederickoneal.com.
Okay. Well, good.
Got all kind of stuff there.
Any sponsors? Anybody in particular you want to, you know, give a special shout out to? Maybe a watchmaker.
Yeah. Well, I do like the Rolex.
You got a really nice watch on. So ticker keeps on ticking, right? So
can't beat a Rolex.
Before we go, you brought something up a while ago about your health conditions from the past and how you are now. I mean, you're back doing stuff in the ring. Nothing too, you know, violent, brutal. A little bit of a personal testimony here. 20 years ago today, we buried my dad.
Wow.
And he passed away to heart failure from diabetic. Mm-hmm. He was type 2. My mom, February 6th of last year, 2018, we lost her to COPD. Mm-hmm. I think that somehow we've missed opportunities to do this podcast before. We've missed opportunities to get together and actually talk and get to know one another. I think that if you believe in the fate, you believe in destiny. I believe it was meant for us to do this podcast today, for you to share your testimony with me about how you made it through all of that. And everybody still keeps fighting on. I have a pink ribbon on my chest just for my mom. She beat stage 2 cancer when I was just wee little. And it says fight like a champion.
That's awesome.
and on my back, I got a cross from my dad. It's got his name on it. I'm a junior, so again, no disclaimers on the name. But I want to thank you, Frederick, for sharing your testimony, sharing your stories about on the road. This has been another episode of the IWR podcast. I've been your host, Scott Patterson. Frederick, until next time, brother.
Yes, sir.